Entertaining talk radio, broadcast on the internet. This is HearUsTalk.com, the thing you do with your ears and the place to be.
Hello to all my fans. Thanks for sending me your letters. I really enjoy reading them while setting your fucking houses on fire. Keep your fucking opinions to yourself. I know I'm awesome. Enjoy the DJ New Style Show, you fucking dickheads.
Oh, snap! Yes. Welcome one and all to your Tuesday Night Miracle. That's right. This is the DJ New Style Show, exclusively on Hear Us Talk. That's HearUsTalk.com. The thing you do with your ears and the place to be. DJNewStyleShow.com is the official website. Facebook.com/TheDJNewStyleShow is the goddamn Facebook page. I am Ken, and with me as always, a bald man, a bald basement-dwelling man, none other than Frank the Germ Freak. Frank, how are you doing tonight, buddy? What's going on?
Hey, what's up, man? Yeah, bald and tired, but what's going on? I'll make the best of it, make do what we got, take two and put it together.
Take two, put it together, you're bald, you're tired, but it's all right. You're hanging, you're banging, you're making it happen. Frank, has it been a good week for you? 7 days since our last show.
That's, days go quicker when you get older, my friend.
What is 7 days to a 42-year-old man? What is it?
I'm 41.
Is it like an afternoon?
Hi, I'm 41.
You're 41 years old. At 41 years old, is a week almost like an afternoon when you were 18?
Yeah. Well, no, the time goes does go quick, pretty quickly nowadays. But I will say that, you know, go ahead.
You will say nothing and then just throw it to me. Is that what you're going to say?
Yeah, I'll let you run with it.
Run with what? Like, normally you put something out there and people run with it. What am I going to run with? You just basically petered out. Does it now feel like October's over with for you?
October 18th. Today's October 18th.
Yeah.
Oktoberfest. And we'll see what happens. Back to you.
Awesome. Yeah, Frank. You are a cut-up. You are a goddamn fucking cut-up. Well, let me tell you what I've done in my 7 days, okay? I've done a few things, Frank. Amanda,
wait, hold on. Let me get a pencil and I can write it down. All right, go ahead.
Why would you write it down?
Well, this way I can keep track of what you did.
Or you could just listen to the show. We are recording this.
Oh, okay.
For posterity. Like, this will exist after we're dead. Does that bother you? Obviously not, because you just gurgle into the mic as you're drinking your fucking swill.
No, that's my breakfast blend coffee.
You're drinking swill and fucking making gurgling noises.
I like it light and sweet. That's how you like your coffee too, light and sweet,
no,
right?
I drink it black.
Are you trying to prove something by drinking it black?
Am I trying to prove something? You know, occasionally, you know what? I'm not trying to prove anything, but I'll have this be known. When I'm pouring black coffee next to a fucking guy that works on an electric pole all day in the morning at the bagel place, and I see him slapping those 2 to 3 packets of fucking Splenda on the top of his cup, trying to get him right, I think I'm rubbing it in a little bit. When I fill it up, he's like, oh, he's putting way too much coffee in. There's no room for me. Oh, he's going all black with it. He doesn't need any pussy-ass fucking sweetener. He doesn't need to cut it down with fucking lactic
acid. So you do
acid.
Drink black coffee as some type of statement?
No. I drink it because I enjoy it that way.
I don't think
I show it off as a statement.
I don't think you enjoy black coffee. I think you're just drinking it to make a statement to the society and to yourself.
That's just an unintended...
I really don't think you enjoy black coffee.
It's an unintended benefit of enjoying black coffee. Okay? Okay. Can you stop with the fucking noise, please?
I honestly don't think you enjoy black coffee.
Great. I'm glad you don't think I fucking enjoy it. How many times am I going to tell you? What are we going to do? What do I have to do to convince you? Nothing, because I don't care if I convince you or not. I like fucking black coffee, and that's the end of it, Frank.
Black coffee in bed.
What is that?
It's a song by the group Squeeze, Black Coffee in Bed. Anyway, continue.
Well, I took my 7 days and decided to actually do something with them. That's what people do with their week, Frank. They do
well,
things.
Well, people who have no kids and no responsibilities, of course. I used to do that.
So you're telling me that you didn't do anything. Like, your kids didn't even do anything. Because you have them, that you can't do anything with them.
No, I can't just drop everything and take off on an excursion, you see? Like you. Like, when I was single, like yourself, we used to just drop at the hat and go anywhere.
That's true, but that's not necessarily
but
what I did.
Now we have responsibilities.
Why is it that you're getting
an adult?
You're getting the impression that everything I do is just on a fucking lark. Okay?
Oh, you fly by the seat of your pants.
No, I plan shit sometimes. Sometimes I do. That's what you do when you can. But most often, I just fucking plan shit out and do it. And what I had planned this weekend, Amanda wanted to go to a fall festival, is usually the goddamn thing that happens around this time of year. There are many fall festivals, and she fucking loves every single fucking one of them. However, you'd be hard-pressed to find anything fall at any of them. There's just a bunch of fucking little booths where Asians sell you socks cheaply. Burp indeed. Burp indeed. So we went down south. Down to the
now. When you say south, what are you talking about?
Down,
North Carolina.
Down south. We're talking about South Jersey.
All right. Okay. You see, people who aren't from New Jersey don't realize that there's a north and a south. Okay, you have to educate them a little bit.
Well, I was going to.
I apologize.
I don't know why you insist on leaping to find anything to grip onto.
I apologize. I am Mr. New Jersey.
Conversationally. It's almost like you're falling down the edge of a cliff every time you speak. And you're just looking for some tree root to hang on to. Like fucking Wile E. Coyote.
I'm grasping with the tips of my fingers.
Yeah. You go, south! Yeah, I went south. Okay. Down south, the deepest of souths in New Jersey. I went to Amanda's hometown. Right outside of Cherry Hill. And they had a fucking... And here's the thing. When Amanda says, oh, we're going to go down by and see my parents and go to the cranberry festival or whatever fucking fruit or vegetable, like the squash festival, whatever it is. It happened to be the cranberry festival, but changed the name, changed three faces, and it's the same fucking event wherever you are. So we went down there for that. And the reason is, she goes, well, we'll see my parents and we'll go and enjoy a fall activity. And so I'm thinking, okay, it's about a 2-hour drive to her parents' house. And, we have plans that evening. This is Saturday, Frank. We had plans that evening up north. So she wanted to split time that day. We had a 2-hour drive. And then we were going to do some shit, enjoy some fucking fall festivities, and then drive back 2 hours, and then enjoy ourselves at something I'll talk about in a little bit. And I know I say that and I never get back to it, but I assure you, this time I will. This is no Cape May, New Jersey. I will discuss this, Frank. I promise.
May I interject something real quickly?
I'm sorry, please. Please.
You mentioned cranberries. New Jersey is one of the top producers of cranberries. In the country.
I am aware.
And you mentioned Cherry Hill. Cherry Hill was the location of the White Castle that Harold and Kumar were going to drive to.
That is true.
Thank you.
Yes, that is true. So we went down there. And what I didn't know, because I just hear, oh, go down, see parents, south, drive. And I think everything's in the same area. Whenever I hear South Jersey, well, I mean, we're traveling 2 hours. Obviously, everything's in the same area. It doesn't matter. We get there, we have another hour to go. Now we got to cut across the fucking state east. And that's where the fucking Cranberry Festival was held. So 2 hours down, an hour drive to, and we're left with, I don't know, an hour and a half of fucking cranberry fun. So we drove essentially 3 hours there to enjoy, if you want to say that, she enjoyed an hour and a half of what amounts to a fucking a flea market with orange leaf decorations and pumpkins. That's it. And I have a very strict rule that I try to never break. I always, if I'm driving somewhere, I want to be there at least the amount of time that I will have driven there and back.
That's a little rule you have.
Yeah. Otherwise,
because,
otherwise, you know what? You can't
I don't know
go.
If we want to talk about an incident that happened some time ago, but whatever.
You can go ahead. What incident are you referring to?
Well, you had attended a Halloween get together, and it took you longer to get there than you did to stay at the actual party. And ever since that time, you made it a rule.
Well, no, that was the absolute rule. That was the rule, the inception of the rule. 2007, my friend Jimmy Rhodes invited me to a Halloween party.
And there's actually a video of this, isn't that correct?
Somewhere around there is. So
it's almost Halloween, bitches.
That's right. That's what I said in the video 3 to 4 years ago, whatever it was. So I went down there, and it was about a 3-hour drive. It was about a 3-hour fucking drive. So my thing was, well, it's 3 hours. We got to stay there for six. We got to stay there for 6 hours. We ended up abandoned by all of our other friends. I'm talking to you, Shawnee Murphy. I'm talking to you, Bobby Sobers. Abandoned. Jeez. Apparently they wised up and realized there's no way they would be able to stay there the required 6 hours. And so they deemed it a fruitless event. We got there, and it's not even his party. It's some other party in his neighborhood.
It's a neighbor's party.
That he's just said you should come to,
right.
Because I'm going. I didn't know anybody. Anyway, so that's when the rule was born. Now,
and you just sat there and enjoyed your Coca-Cola.
You just had a nice Coca-Cola Classic.
Right, right.
Wasn't drinking any alcohol because I could have been right out the fucking door any minute. Any minute. The minute I decided that I was too good for the cold pretzels, which honestly wasn't immediately because I did have my share. When that moment hit, we fucking flew the goddamn coop. Two very apologetic friends, by the way. Jimmy and his wife. Might have been his wife. Yeah, it was just his wife. Yeah, anyway, fuck this. So we drive... It's basically 3 hours and stay there a half hour, and then we have to drive all the way back. And I deem that pointless. Whenever, you know, there's nothing that's worth that. Going there and spending, a third of the time that you've had to drive to enjoy it, there's nothing that's worth that, unless it's a guy handing out fucking money. It's the only fucking way. We went there, we did the fucking thing, and then we went back up because the reason we couldn't stay is because we wanted to, you know, spend time with our parents. We wanted to eat a meal, and then we had tickets to go to a comedy show right pretty much near our goddamn home in Chester, New Jersey. So we get an hour or so of the fucking festival.
Chester's been coming up a lot lately.
Sure is. We get an hour or so of the festival, and then... You know, we want to cap off the day or the couple hours with her parents at a place to eat. And so whenever someone says, let's go somewhere to eat, Frank, is there ever just a, we're going to go here immediately, or is there a back and forth? Do you try to involve everybody in the decision of where you're going
to
go?
You try to involve everybody, but I never want to be the person who actually picks the place, because if it sucks, you're to blame.
That's the problem. Well, we didn't engage in a back and forth. Her parents decided that they knew of a great place. They called it the Hibachi place.
No.
They called it the Hibachi place. They said they got this great Hibachi place we go to. It's inexpensive and it's incredible. They have everything there. They have all the
now,
meats.
What is a Hibachi?
Some kind of a Japanese grill. You get some fucking former enemy of the state behind some, that was fucking 1944. Can we give them a little slack now? Sure. They made Nintendo.
Ooh.
I love the Japanese. You get a Japanese chef, you put them behind a fire and a piece of metal, and they grill up some shit. So they say, we're going to go to this great Hibachi place. Maybe, and I'm thinking maybe they'll make a little volcano out of onion rings. I don't know. Maybe they'll do some fucking tricks and throw a goddamn shrimp at me and smile and fucking make a joke of it. Maybe they'll do that. And I hear, oh, it's great. It's, you know, it is inexpensive, but it's going to knock your socks off. So we get in the car. We all pile in, and I'm getting excited for this. Getting really excited for this. The meat, they had the salmon rolled, oh, it was the best salmon, the little fucking sesame balls, or whatever. I don't know, they're going off about all their favorite things, like, I had this, they didn't have that last time, I was so upset. So now I'm getting worked into a fucking froth, and I'm starving. we pull up to a strip mall, and what looks like the modern age of strip mall, Frank, where you know how most strip malls are the same fucking shape. Picture a strip mall that looks like it used to have a Best Buy in it, and then write the words Hibachi in front of that. So it looks like a converted big box electronics store that is now some kind of an Asian flair restaurant. We walk in, and I'm in a fucking Chinese buffet, and I'm not in suburbia anymore, Frank. I'm in the fucking hood.
You're eating good in the hood.
No. I'm in Camden, New Jersey, in a fucking Chinese buffet that they lovingly call the Hibachi place.
Now, people don't realize that Camden, Jersey has been one of the top producers of being the country's most dangerous city.
You can't start it off as saying one of the top producers like you're going to mention the fact that they have the most iron in their soil. Well, this literally is the most dangerous spot in the fucking country.
They're the producers of violence.
They have the highest crime rate, you could say.
Stop. And even more so than Newark.
Yeah. Now, in the, yeah, we used to say we were isolated from Newark.
Right.
We don't anymore. I don't know if you've noticed that, Frank.
But I have noticed it.
Interesting. So I'm in Camden, New Jersey, in what amounts to a Chinese buffet. Not like a hibachi place. People are clinking little tiny glasses of warm sake, and fucking Japanese businessmen are just going off in their fucking native tongues, just pissed drunk, fucking throwing papers at each other. No, it's a Chinese buffet. And one thing about a Chinese buffet that I find interesting, whether you're in Camden or whether you're in right next to a four-car garage place where the guy owns his own horses, everywhere you go, anytime you step into one of these places, it's the same clientele. It's the same clientele. And it doesn't matter if you're in Mendham, New Jersey, or if you're in Camden, New Jersey. Frank, we were the only white people there.
Okay. I mean, that makes no difference to me.
This is an observation that I've noticed.
Right.
And I'm going to go out on a limb and say that black people love Chinese buffet.
So you felt out of place.
I felt severely out of place. There was a family of black people sitting on the steps of some like waterfall display, and they were batting at the koi fish that they had in the fucking pond. Batting at the fish with their fucking hands. I guess they were waiting to be seated, although I don't know why, because there were a lot of open tables. They were probably just playing with the goddamn fish. So I'm able to put this feeling of that being out of place aside and just go on the fact that this is a place that my girlfriend's parents are really highly recommending. They lovingly call it the Hibachi place. And I'm looking around and I see lots of stations where, there's your staple Chinese stations. You have the Jell-O cube cart. You have like the little shitty cakes, and you know they're shitty, but you'll eat them because you know they're there. They have the fruit one, the fucking little every type of Chinese food one. They have a lot of different things, and then there's always the one with like the pizza and the wings, just to kind of like lull you into some kind of Americana. They have pizza and fucking wings and macaroni and cheese. But then I look up and I'm thinking, why do they fucking, the Hibachi place? The fucking, I'm like, why would you call this a fucking Hibachi place? And then I kind of stop looking at the trays and I look up. And in the back, there's a big sign that says, Hibachi, no extra cost. And I look down and it's really just a glassed-in area where where the guy working there could not have possibly, through science, miracles of religion, he could not have possibly given less of a fuck. He stared at me as if I was completely invisible. They were offering cuts of chicken, pork, beef, and they were just there in piles. And I saw them pull the whatever he was cooking off the grill, and he literally didn't move from behind the Hibachi grill. And Now, remember my highly romanticized view of what a hibachi was when I explained it to you? You have a very enthusiastic Japanese gentleman just playing with the food and mocking you and, I don't know, pissing beer into a glass and then everybody claps. And like, you think that's just incredible. But this guy was essentially sizing me up through sneeze guard. And he pulled these little cutlets and shit off the goddamn grill, and he's not even, there's no spatula, it's just like tongs, and he's taking them and he's throwing them to the piles of the fucking meat, taking them quick. You hear him like pull off, like you hear you're losing some of the meat on the fucking on the grill, and he's just taking it and launching it, and the station of the meat, you know, the little sternos or whatever that are built mm-hmm. into the counter, they're a good 4 feet away. I saw him miss with a couple of them. I didn't stick around to see what he was going to do with those because I didn't want to be horrified.
How was the food?
I got to tell you, the hibachi meat was fucking incredible. The meat from that grill was absolutely incredible.
So you can't judge a book by its cover, can you there?
Yeah, you can. You absolutely can. You go to a Chinese buffet, Frank. You've been to a couple, I'm guessing.
Once, today. Twice. Excuse me?
I'm just fucking with you, Frank.
I don't know what that means.
What does a Chinese restaurant typically have in the way of dessert?
Ice cream.
What kind of ice cream?
Vanilla.
Do you have... what? How do you get it into your... how do you acquire this ice cream?
You refresh my memory.
Is it soft serve?
No, never.
What? No, at a Chinese buffet? Are you serious?
At the Chinese buffet, soft serve?
It's always soft serve.
Okay.
They have the chocolate and vanilla, and they have the little pile of bowls, and then they have the little fucking topping station.
Yogurt. Frozen yogurt.
Whatever it is, it's soft serve. And you know what it is most certainly not? It is not a freezer filled with barrels of ice cream and one fucking skanky-ass scooper in a fucking tin of watercolor water. That ice cream station was horrifying. I saw somebody eating ice cream. I'm like, oh, I'm going to have some ice cream. And it was all melty, so I just thought it had to be soft serve. This is a Chinese buffet. It has to be fucking soft serve. I walk over, and there's somebody scooping out this, like, fucking camouflage sherbet or whatever the fuck into a bowl. And then they took the metal scoop, and they used their finger and went...
I don't believe you for a minute.
I swear to God. I swear on everything.
Now, you're not discriminatory. Did that even bothered you?
It didn't bother me until I saw where they put the scooper when they were done. They had a little bucket of water inset in the countertop, like it's a permanent fixture.
Sure.
And they just dropped it in there. And there's a little sink running into it, I guess, to keep fresh water in there. The problem is it couldn't keep up with the filth. That water looked like somebody poured milk in it. That water looked like someone poured chocolate milk into it. Every color, like I'm telling you, when you're done creating a masterpiece with watercolor, that little water glass, that puce, fucking not quite brown, not quite black water, that's what it looked like. And you're dipping it in and you're taking it out and you're scooping your fucking ice cream into your fucking plastic glass. And I'm looking around and I'm thinking, God damn it, this is fucking gross. All right, I'll try it. So I scooped it into a bowl and I ate it, and it was actually pretty delicious. And then I at this point, I'm okay. I almost had a moment, Frank, where looking at them scoop it with their fingers out of that fucking, out of the ice cream scoop, that almost turned me, but what it didn't. And what really did was, after I was done eating the ice cream, Amanda's mom said, I usually bring Purell to places like these. I'm like, oh, yeah, I left it in the car. I'm like, yeah, I guess you just have to get it afterwards. You know, you can get hepatitis from some of the people that touch some of these, you know, these tongs and, you know, all the things that touch the food. You could get some hepatitis.
Yeah, I'm the one who always told you that.
Yeah! You! And I know you're fucking legitimately nuts, so I can write off a lot of the shit you say.
And there's actually a law in North Carolina that you cannot in a salad bar, you cannot reuse your plate.
That's very impressive, I'll have to say.
Thank you, Benny Hill's ghost.
And also, wow, what happened to that guy? Remember he was ripping CDs of the show, just plugging them on his goddamn commute. Anyway, so it's funny that you say that, because as you approach any of the carts, there's a sign that has that sentiment written on it. But it just says, please don't use old plates. They've given up on being stern.
Should we tell a story of what I did at my neighborhood diner?
Now, is this a diner that you went to a lot? What did you do exactly?
Well, I impersonated a health inspector.
Go ahead. Tell the story.
I'm what I consider a, how do you put it? Some people are honorary, police officers or honorary. I'm an honorary health inspector. I'm a self.
Wait, hold on. These people that are. Who is an honorary police officer?
Well, sometimes you'll give somebody, like Elvis Presley was an honorary drug enforcement agent. You know what I'm saying?
He was appointed by the President of the United States.
Richard Milhouse Nixon.
Who appointed you as honorary health inspector?
I'm self-appointed.
Oh, I see. So you're an honorary health inspector.
Right.
Here to take care of, germy issues for the people.
So I took it upon myself to visit area restaurants to see their procedures. I was an undercover
definitely not to just fill your fucking face with shitty diner food.
Well, in the meantime, I killed two birds at one stone. I did that as I was doing my investigation.
So don't act like you're some kind of a fucking lunchtime vigilante. Okay?
Well, listen.
You're going to have a fucking happy waitress and a thimble of coleslaw.
Yeah, thimble. Why is it always a fucking paper little cup thimble? I want a big serving of coleslaw.
Yeah, you know what, though? I'd rather have in the paper cup than the shit that I see now. They have some kind of little fucking pewter fucking thing with a handle that it comes in now. Like the little creamers. You know those little metal jugs that they give you? I've had coleslaw served to me in those.
And you know what gets me nowadays, too?
What's
many
that?
Diners now, and this is a little off the subject, they will put in their usually when you got your cheeseburger deluxe or whatever, you know, or your sandwich, you automatically, at least in Jersey diners, you get your coleslaw with a spear pickle on top of it.
Yes.
Nowadays, I'm reading coleslaw and pickle upon request only.
What?
What the fuck is that all about?
You cheap motherfuckers.
That's supposed to be a given, a perk.
I demand
you get your coleslaw and your spear pickle on top of it.
I demand my curly little cabbage lettuce and my orange slice, and also my little pickle and fucking coleslaw. I demand it, even though I won't eat it all the time. Sometimes I leave it. I demand it. Frank, do you know what really grossed me out about this Camden, New Jersey Chinese buffet that was billed to me as some amazing, like, Asian fusion palace of culinary fucking miracles? Do you know what really bothered me?
No, and I would love to know what.
I was told how good the sushi was. They had fucking sushi. And I'm not talking about a goddamn California roll, okay? Where it's safe, where it's cooked. I'm talking about they had fucking toro, I think. They had raw fucking salmon, raw tuna on a little dollop of rice. They had sushi in the exact form I would expect it to be in. And I was told, hey, it's fresh. I don't know if you don't eat a lot of sushi because you don't enjoy fish.
But I don't eat fish, period.
What kind of environment would you expect fish, raw fish especially, to be,
a frigid kept? Environment?
You would think, right? And definitely not with a fucking lamp shining on it.
No.
Yeah, this is, by the way, the sushi at the Hibachi place, in quotes. They had like a little fucking spice rack with lights shining at it where they put all the raw fish. And they had tongs so you could grab it. But the problem was some of the fucking cuts of sushi are coated with like little fucking sauce.
Sauce.
Swirls. Yeah, a little sauce. dollops and shit, so the tongs were covered in greasy sauce, and you couldn't discern what was actually sauce and what was fucking melted ice cream. It all looked the fucking same. It was fucking hideous. So I had to try it. And I took a couple pieces back, and I even took some raw shit. I took a California roll, which is like, you know, crab stick and cucumber. So, like, you're not going to die necessarily from that. You could. It's possible. This was the perfect fucking environment to kill somebody with a California roll. But it's very unlikely. So I took one of those, and I took a raw tuna and raw salmon. And you don't know what it's like to eat sushi, but there's a certain feel you have when you eat it. It's supposed to feel fresh. It's supposed to feel cool. It's not supposed to feel like you're chewing on peanut fucking styrofoam peanuts that have been soaked. Like some kind. I took a bite of this fucking raw tuna right before I was about to engage in a conversation with Amanda's mom. And it felt like warm fucking styrofoam. Just disgusting. And I almost vomited. I took my napkin and I spit it right out in there. And I left it right on the table behind the napkin dispenser. I couldn't do it. I couldn't eat it. And I look around. People are eating the sushi like it's time to fucking have sushi. This is their time.
It's good eatings.
You're not going to have it any other time. You're in Camden, New Jersey at the goddamn hibachi place. This is where you're going to throw it down. This is where you're going to give it a shot. And I put a piece of the shit in my mouth, and it was so it was just warm. I know I didn't, and it's my mind overreacting. But as I'm thinking, this is warm. It's probably been out forever, and somebody probably put hepatitis on it. I felt like I was feeling worms crawl on it. I know I wasn't, but that's what was developing in my fucking mind. And at that point, I was done. I'm usually good for 3 plates. This was my first, maybe second plate. And my second plate was very, very sparse. Absolutely revolted by that. And then I look over. I look over.
You're not going to be going back.
I won't go. Or I'll go and I'll just have, you know, the cooked salty meats that they had by the fucking hibachi station. But I look over and people are having the best time. I'm a have my sushi. I'm a have my motherfucking ass raw ass sushi. Like they're chewing it down. They're smiling. They're not talking. They're too busy eating. There's too much eating to be done. And I'm looking at this and I'm feeling like I might contract the disease. I think that's probably how.
And
you
you're not a hypochondriac by nature.
I'm not. The worst part is like it looked the lighting of the place. If you've ever played Vice City on PlayStation or Xbox or whatever, any of the nightclubs, it had that fucking that kind of lighting, like the fluorescent teal and the pink, and everything is the walls are all white, and there's a fucking pond, and there's somebody splashing around in the pond, and then later on I see them just pulling slices of fucking pizza off the station and eating it, putting shit on plates, putting the plate back. I just couldn't do it. I didn't have a breakdown, but I just couldn't fucking eat any more of it. I was so fucking thoroughly disgusted. And I felt out of place. I understand that people are correcting me when I say koi pond. I'm just desperately trying to keep the class that was implanted in my brain when I heard, this is the greatest hibachi place you're ever going to be. And I'm picturing a fucking Japanese businessman that just had a fucking 20 billion yen sale celebrating and fucking burning the place down and no one cares. It was upsetting, to say the least, Frank. Upsetting. And you know what? I could have used you as a volunteer health inspector. You know, well, you never really told us what you did.
Yes, well, let me get back to my story. Oh,
I'm sorry. Please.
I appointed myself an honorary health inspector of the town where I live. And
what,
I would go
what
to different...
What town is that?
Excuse me?
Oh, I'm sorry. Continue, please.
What town are you living in at the moment?
Do you want me to say your town?
You go first.
Never mind. Please continue.
So I would visit area eateries and restaurantes. And
You would visit eateries and what?
Restaurantes. Eateries.
Why would you try to say foreign things to make it sound special?
Well, I'm just trying to make the show a little more classier.
Oh, you wanted to classy it up?
Right. So
we're not classy enough for some
people.
I love
salad bars. I love the concept of a salad bar if I was the only one to be eating at the salad bar. But what happened was
you just like the idea of the salad bar.
Right.
Do you realize the idea of the salad bar is you making your own dinner? That's what it is. If you were the only one eating, it's you just making your own food.
Well, I always made a good salad. The salads I made, you could put them on the cover of a food magazine.
I defy you to make a salad that looks good. I bet you it's hideous.
Okay. May I finish my
I'm sorry,
story?
Please continue.
So I was noticing that people and I was sitting in the booths.
In the what?
In the booths. And I was sitting undercover. And I noticed that people were frequenting the patronizing the salad bar, eating their salad, and going back with the same dirty plate, putting the utensils that are in the bins of the salad, aka chickpeas, red onion, and potato sour.
Can you stick with one accent? Can you just do me that favor, please?
If I could, I would. So I did some research, some investigative research, some CSI, if you will.
Okay.
And hepatitis can be caught by taking utensils and placing them on the plate where somebody else had their food. You see what I'm saying?
I do.
Then they put the utensil back into the bin, and the pattern is made.
Sure, we got it.
So I decided to sneak out of there. Go on my phone, make sure my number was blocked, of course,
yes.
And I call up these respective eateries, and I said to them, listen, I says, I am the health inspector. You need to have a sign on your salad bar instructing your patrons not to reuse their dirty plates.
Mm.
And I need that to be on there within the week, I said. Well, lo and behold, within a week I went there, and there was a nice little 3x5 index card written in pencil saying do not reuse plate. And I attribute that to me. And I attribute the fact that these people did not get hepatitis A, B, or C because of me.
Interesting, Frank. You know why they put that card there?
I called.
No, because you didn't ask to see the backline kitchen and all the other violations. You didn't ask to see the guy that was essentially jerking off on his lunch break and is now hand mixing the Caesar salads.
And using his own dressing.
They're like, really? That's all we have to do? Do you have the right restaurant? You sure? And they write out their little index card and you think you're a fucking hero. And then the restaurant was closed down fucking 2 months later. For real reasons. I don't see this anywhere in New Jersey, but anytime I go to the Outer Banks, the restaurants have like letter grades and then like the percentage that they scored next to it, like a report card. So you would like right by wherever you see the person that you're ordering from, there's a placard affixed to the wall that says rated and then like A, 96%. And like the highest I've ever seen was a Sonic, which had like a 97. I don't think in all the years I've been down there I ate at anything below an A, except for this year I ate at something called Dune Burger and it was a B+. Now I don't know what the fuck you have to do to not get an A, but it seems like everybody else is able to do it except Dune Burger, and I still ate there. I wonder if they employed that letter grade, percentage grade, score thing in New Jersey, how many fucking diners would just be shut down? Because have you ever seen the back line of a diner, Frank?
No, and I think that's for the best.
Yeah, absolutely it is. Absolutely. You can't have people making any type of food at any time of the day and not have some kind of contamination. You mean I can have a lobster at 7 a.m.? or a fucking 6-egg omelet at fucking midnight. You know, there's got to be some salmonella going across. I don't know. Well, I'm not in the food industry. I'm not. Despite what you may think. Oh, fuck. I forgot to mention this, Frank. We actually ate at a diner before last week's show.
Yes, we ate at a diner before last week's show.
We were pretty excited about our guest last week. Excited indeed. We decided to, you were in the area. We decided to meet up.
Right.
I brought Amanda. We went to a diner. I ordered some fucking sandwich that came with fries, but I substituted it for a salad.
Well, first you wanted broccoli, and he said no.
Oh, no, I wanted a salad. He said no, and I substituted for broccoli. But no one really gives a shit about that. No one gives a shit about the facts, especially the waiter. He came by, and I saw him arrive to the table in slow motion with my sandwich and a pile of golden brown fries.
Right.
And as he left, I said, you see what this is? What's on my plate?
Now, it took me a moment to figure it out.
I said, what's on my plate? What's on my plate? And you look at it. You didn't figure it out right away. No, I really didn't.
You know what? Because we're so trained to realize that you get a burger and fries are going to be with it.
Of course. But what happened, Frank?
Well, you got your golden fries. You didn't want golden fries. You wanted.
I got golden fries. Exactly. And we have a rule. You never send anything back.
We know that. We have documentation.
So we're good, right?
Absolutely.
No, because Amanda was with us. Amanda was with us.
Put it on your face and eat it.
Amanda was with us, and she did. Or you do the additional services. You ask.
Right, exactly.
You say, oh, can I have a side of broccoli? And you said, because you forgot this the first time.
You forgot this the first time.
That's what you do. That's as old as the hills. It's gold advice. Something is wrong. Order whatever you were supposed to get, and then let them know they fucked up.
Right. You get the food first, and they
fucked
up.
Exactly.
And then, when they bring it to you, you put it in their fucking face.
This is so old. At this point, it's like a coach telling fucking Kobe Bryant how to shoot a foul shot. This is so standard. We have it down pat. The problem is we were with Amanda, and she doesn't have it down pat. The only thing she knows is whatever's wrong, she wants it corrected. Excuse me? We were supposed to get broccoli instead of fries. Guy goes, oh, I'm so sorry. What happens, Frank?
Well, this is what I would had anticipated happening. He's like, okay, don't worry about it. I'll be right back with you with your broccoli or whatever.
Yeah, oh, I'm so sorry. I'll come right back.
No. He asked you for your plate back.
Yeah, and I'm holding on to this fucking
thing. And you were holding on for dear life. You didn't want to give it back.
No, because
you knew what was ahead.
What's going to happen? He fucking takes the plate. And Amanda realizes instantly. She's like, oh, no. Can you just bring broccoli back? He goes, no, I'll get it. It's okay. No, I'll get it.
He's like, yeah, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to give him the broccoli or whatever, you know?
The plate came back, and it literally looked like someone removed the fries with Photoshop. Like, the burger and everything else was exactly as I put it. Because I had already ketchuped my burger or sandwich, whatever it was. And I positioned everything the way I like it. It was as if somebody just made the fries disappear. So the guy probably just took his fucking paw and scraped them with his fucking hand that has been, bussing his own tables and scratching his ass and picking his fucking nose and shoveled fries back into the fucking bin under that fucking radioactive red light bulb. You think he threw them out? I don't think so. Not in a million fucking years.
I thought that he just would scoop them and throw them in the trash. But
not
but
in
you
a
act,
million
you thought
fucking
that he put
years.
Them back in the
this,
fryer.
This place is too cheap to open a bag of salad and give me a side salad instead of fries. They're going to absolutely try to give those fries to somebody else. Put a fucking put radiation on them. Keep them warm that way. So now my burger went into the danger zone. Went back there. The guy probably he could have done anything he wanted to it. He could have had his way with it. I don't know that he didn't. That's the problem. Amanda didn't realize this. She felt very bad. I think she learned a valuable lesson. I was sick the next day. I don't know if it was because of that. I did feel like I had a scratchy throat and sniffles. I don't know if it was because of that.
Sniffles?
I had sniffles.
What are you, Cindy Brady?
I'm sorry, I'm too young for your reference.
I mean, you're a 31-year-old man using the word sniffles.
What's wrong with sniffles?
I've never used the word sniffles in my life.
You just did.
Just to prove a point. You say runny nose is the proper etiquette.
I had the sniffles. I was sniffling. What's that? What'd you just do? What'd you just do?
You sniffled. When, just now?
You sniffled, you bald bastard. And if you know what? And if we were connected with ICU too, I could probably see your dumb fucking face try to suck that snot back up into your fucking sinuses.
Did you ever...
Wait, are, ICU you, 2.
Okay, go ahead.
ICU 2. That's ICU, the number 2.com. They are the best. They're
the pioneers.
They sponsor our show. They've been really, really supportive of us. And we hope that if you enjoy the show, you would show them the same respect. Download their software. Give it a shot. It's free to try. It's currently a desktop application. Rumor says they're going to probably go web-based. They're going to go goddamn web-based. They're going to run chat roulette out of the goddamn game. Ustream, watch out, motherfucker. ICU2 is bringing the fucking thunder. ICU, the number 2.com. Give it a shot. You can be face-to-face with anyone from any place. It's a great way to keep in touch with people that, honestly, you haven't been able to keep in touch with and see. And also, you can call people out on their fucking bullshit. If they type LOL, you'll see their stupid fucking face, their dumb stone face, affixed next to everything they type. So if they type LOL and they don't move their fucking mouth or make an eye smile, then you know they're not to be trusted. This is a feature of ICU2. That's ICU, the number 2.com. Come on, people. I'm sorry, Frank. Were you about to say something?
Have you ever sucked in your snot so hard that actually you get a booger in your mouth?
Of course.
Okay, so I just wanted to
almost
make sure.
almost every time.
And the boogers have no taste.
They're slightly salty.
Ew.
And crispy. You know when you pull a snail out of the shell, it's got that one little hard piece where it's kind of like the door to his tent. And then it's just a big, globbity, gluk, fucking dangly piece of shit. That's kind of like the boogers that get detached when you sniffle or suck this shit back too fucking hard. They detach from the inside of the nose, and they have that little crisp skin. They have that clam foot. And they're salty. They are a little bit. What do you do with them at that point, Frank?
You just spit them out.
You spit them out?
Yeah.
If you suck back your fucking snots, you're sick. You have a sinus problem. You're sucking back the dumb snots, making that noise all day. You get snot and you're in the back of your fucking mouth. What do? You spit them out into a cup?
Just on the ground.
You're in your office 25 hours a day.
I have a waste paper basket.
But you said the ground.
Well, if I'm outside.
Okay. I don't do that. I don't do that. I'm a self-contained system. I don't fear them. I don't fear them at all, Frank. They're gonna make their way out one way or the other. I don't spit them out. I don't. Snots go right down the fucking gullet, you son of a bitch. That's how it works. And I'll do it all day. I don't care. Want to fucking? I'm gross. Well, let's hear you when you're sick. You fucking asshole. You son of a bitch.
Who are you talking to?
Anybody. Anybody. If you're sick and you go to work, you're a fucking dick. I just want to let you know. Guy, couple fucking cubicles over. Oh, I just had this nasty cough. He's talking to me like he's fucking Harvey Firestein. He's got that deep fucking...
Firestone.
No. It's not Firestone.
Is it Firestone or Firestein?
Again, you're falling down a cliff.
I thought it was Firestone.
You thought it was a tree root, but it ended up being a radish or something. It didn't work out. It just plucked out. You're still falling. You see a sign. Oh, it was broken. Firestone! Oh, not a tree root. I'm dead. Boom. Firestein. So anyway, fuck all that. Fuck all that. So Saturday
fuck
night.
Fuck all y'all!
The reason why we had to rush home, Frank. Not because we were so excited about the hibachi place. A while back, Amanda had purchased tickets for an event in small town of Chester, New Jersey. Subject of your pumpkin picking and fall festivities story from a couple weeks ago. If you haven't heard it, go to djnewstyleshow.com. Download our fucking shows. Subscribe and encourage others to do the same, you slimy cocksucker. So here we are during one of these Chester days or something. I saw a flyer in the window of a barbershop for one night only, Jim Brewer, a night of storytelling and comedy at the Chester Firehouse on October 15th. And I'm thinking, okay, well, this would be fucking awesome because I like Jim Brewer. I've heard him on a variety of radio shows, seen his comedy
specials.
He also
has his own radio show.
He does have his own radio show. I enjoy the guy. I think he's fucking
hilarious. Which radio
shows
have you heard him on?
I've heard him on Stern. I've heard him on Opie and Anthony.
Oh, you're a big Opie and Anthony fan.
Where did you get that from?
Oh, I'm just saying because you mentioned him, so.
I actually didn't. You forced me to mention them.
Oh. Go ahead.
And to be honest, I listen to Opie and Anthony. Is that okay with you? I don't listen much because I don't have much of a commute anymore, Frank. So anyway, so we got the tickets, and I didn't know what the fuck to expect. I mean, when you hear, oh, he's performing at a firehouse, what do you expect? What is the first thing that you see in your mind, in your big, bald, fucking empty mind? What do you envision when I say, hey, Jim Brewer is performing?
I think of like metal folding chairs and him just, in the front, no platform or anything, doing his riff.
You think maybe like a fire truck in the background?
Like some poles or something.
Like a pole. So like the closet with the jackets.
Right. Maybe a fireman walking in and out every so often. Siren.
As it turns out, there was a huge turnout for this. I mean, like, relative to what the place can hold. There was a waiting list of 100 people.
Can I ask you how much were the tickets?
The tickets were $20.
That's pretty goddamn cheap.
Pretty goddamn cheap and essentially not much of a drive home. You know, like really close. Far closer than if I went to, the Stress Factory in New Brunswick or if I went to New York. You know, this is literally, I could literally drive home. I was going to say I could literally drive home with my eyes closed, which I could definitely not do. But it was really easy to get there and get home. Isn't what nice, Frank? I'm sorry to cut you.
No, it's nice to do things, you know, like not have to go to like the city, just to do things, you know, in your neighborhood.
Yeah, it is. It is. So we get there, and there's not much of a line to get in. I mean, we're there right as the doors open, and I hear somebody bickering with the ticket takers. Like, if they don't show. Can I go? I'll buy the tickets if they don't show. Like, we already have 100 people on our waiting list. And I'm thinking, 100 fucking people. 100 extra names above what they sold. We climb up the stairs of this rickety firehouse. There's like there's a stink coming off this place. There's like and it's not a bad stink. It's this place has been here a fucking long time stink. It's the old furniture stink, you know? And they have pictures of just houses ablaze and the date and the location. And they have pictures of dead firefighters. Not like dead, like they
right,
died.
Right.
What did you just do?
Well, I'm sure that they weren't showing them they were dead on the ground. It was just like pictures of them.
Profile. Shut your dumb fucking mouth.
Excuse me?
Why did you choose to say... Right.
Because when you said dead firefighters, people may have thought that
Right.
You were trying to convey the point that, you know,
is it true that you were doing something else as I was talking? Is it true?
I've been doing something else the whole time.
What were you doing?
I'm typing.
What are you typing?
That's none of your concern.
No, I'm curious. What are you typing?
I had to write up just it's work related, but whatever.
So you're doing your work while you're doing this?
No, I just had to do one thing like so what? I didn't forget.
Like what? You know, it's 11 o'clock at night. When do you stop fucking working?
I don't fucking know.
When did you wake up?
I woke up at 5 o'clock.
When did you start working?
At 5:15.
So you took 15 minutes for yourself and you've been on call ever since.
Yeah.
You need to really fucking get your schedule in line, dude. You need to fuck. You're going to be 60. You're
going to be last night.
I honestly didn't
3
care.
O'clock.
Oh, thank you. I didn't give you. So you had 2 hours of sleep. Yeah. You know, there's something with you. Like even last Tuesday, you told me I've been up since 5. Like I said, hey Frank, how are you? You were like creepily.
How does that make you feel?
Amanda and I rolled up to the diner in my shitty car, and you're standing outside just by the dumpster.
I was leaving.
You could have gone
car.
In and got us a table and had a cup of coffee, but you're just standing near a fucking dumpster.
And well, I knew you were going to be coming the back way. So
and I greet you, and you say, "I've been awake since 5." And I go, oh, sorry. Guess what time I went to bed? I'm like, I really don't care. 3.
How does that make you feel?
Does it make me feel? You must be. That makes me feel like that's something I want to avoid being. I don't want to ever be the guy that gets 2 hours of sleep and is proud of it like you are.
I'm not proud of it, believe
Why
me.
Why do you. Like, you gave me shit for showing off my black coffee as I pour it as, like, some fucking union dude. Puts sweet and lows, which is the fucking fruitiest thing you can do. Oh, yeah, give me a fucking jug of coffee and 7 sweet and lows. Can I ask the sweet
I
and
only
lows?
Asked for 6.
Wait. You asked for 6 what?
I asked for 6 equals when I have my venti.
6?
Yeah, 6 equals.
Jesus Christ. Why can't you just... Can you cut that out? Like... It's poison. You're eating poison. Anyway. God damn it, man. You really fucking pissed me off with that fucking I don't give a shit. I'm just going through the motions.
No. See, the thing is,
right.
You misconstrued what I was trying
Miss
to
what?
Say.
What did I do?
You misconstrued it. What I was trying to say was I was trying agreeing with you that
right.
They were pictures. They weren't pictures of dead people. They were pictures of their profile of their profile pictures. I was just agreeing with you.
How
it
could
wasn't
you fucking agree with me? You don't know. Why are you agreeing with me?
I knew what you were going to say. I was beating you at the punch.
Why would you do that? You don't do that, you fucking dick. And if you do, you just say, oh, yeah. You don't just go, right. Yeah. Making a dumb fucking face probably as you did it to him. Probably patting on your fucking belly like a tom drum. As you've just started to do now. I caught you at the diner. I saw you last week. You were tapping on your fucking belly. Why do you do that?
I didn't know I was doing it. I apologize.
You casually tap on your fucking stomach out of nowhere. Like, your hands are nowhere near your fucking stomach. Out of nowhere, you just go... you literally just fucking go... Ah! Just a fucking tap to it. I don't know. So, we wind up the stairs. Yes, there is a painting, a portrait of a firefighter who has passed on to another life. Right! And we get into this area. It looks like a fucking a place you'd have like a sports banquet in high school. There's like a parquet floor. There's a bar. And a ton of folding chairs. There's draperies. It looks like a place.
So, I was right about the folding chairs.
You're right about that, but... It looks like where you would go and have an inexpensive gathering. Maybe a family reunion, maybe an 80th birthday, maybe a low budget wedding.
Like a VFW, if you will.
Something like that, exactly. And
Veterans of Foreign Wars.
And they had a little chair with a wireless mic on it, and they handed out programs, and I'm walking in with my program. I'm like, wow, all the seats are open. They're all open, just folding chairs. Here it is. Do you want to sit in the front row? Do you think, or maybe we should sit one back? We look. There's 4 rows, and they're just long, long, long rows. And we look, and first row, reserved. Second row, reserved. Third row, fucking reserved. The only fucking, the only seats available were the last goddamn row. And it's level seating because it's a banquet hall. And I have some big fat fuck oaf sitting in front of me who's like, you know, a foot taller than anybody. So I'm sitting behind somebody. If I cheat to the left a little bit or to the right, I can kind of make a little visual alleyway through shoulders and shit. But I was less than pleased that people could just go in there and paper the seats. Because we got there right as the doors fucking opened. Somebody went there ahead of time and papered the fucking seats. And they reserved it. And now I see people moving chairs around and shit. It was chaos.
Oh, these were reserved by I thought they were reserved by people that he knew or.
Well, if he did, then he brought everybody. I'm telling you, the first, like 75% of the seats were reserved. We're just saved for somebody.
So tell me about the show. I mean,
so he comes out. He's like a half hour late.
Really?
Yeah, he was a half hour late. He did.
Was there like a song that introduced him, or somebody introduced him, or
they had an MC? They had an MC from a local college radio station. His name was Johnny D, and he looked like. Think about this. I read it on the program. Johnny D from WNTI or something. I don't even know. That might be it. I don't know. I may have just blew the guy's spot up, but he's from a local college. You see that name. What picture do you have of the guy? What is your visual? And you're like, Johnny D.
Just some kind of Guido type, I guess.
He looked like really skinny, short, wearing a Best Buy polo shirt without the Best Buy logo, tucked into khakis, and really thick Coke bottle glasses. He was a college student who got into radio. Very into radio, and he's a DJ on his fucking college station, and he picks up the mic, and it's off, and he's talking. And nobody can hear him, and somebody yells, "Turn on the mic, asshole!"
The guy didn't say asshole.
Yeah, he did. "Turn on the mic, asshole." And he goes, you guys are going to be pretty rough for Jim.
Now give me the makeup of the crowd of the audience. What the ages, things
so
of that nature.
That's what I was looking around at. I'm thinking, you know, Jim Brewer, he's kind of like a younger, he's got like a younger demographic. You know, he opens for like Metallica. He's got like a rock vibe. He's got a youthful presence. In front row, dressed in a suit. Is the oldest fucking human I've ever seen in my life. Literally the oldest human I've ever fucking seen in my life. And his bride of 1,000 years. They had to have been married for 1,000 years. And they were both dressed like they were going to some kind of a wedding. They were in a suit and a dress. I'm wearing a fucking t-shirt and a hoodie. And everybody else seems a little bit more dressed up. They have a going out attire on, ranging from suits to like, you know, collared shirts. But generally, the overall feel is old. Old. Probably not going to get it. I've never seen Half Baked. I heard a lot of people talking about it. I've never seen his movie. I see him at the bagel place. I see him around town. I don't even know what he does. Blah, 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 blah. So I'm thinking, man, these guys are going to be fucking disappointed. This isn't going to be for them. This is going to be terrible for them. And also, it's got to be terrible for Jim, because he's got, you know, people that are outside of his demographic just, you know, pouring in because they see the word comedy. It's going to be a rough show. And he eventually gets in there, and the first thing he mocked.
Wait, did he apologize for being late?
No. Not at all. But what he did do is he mocked the room. He goes, "Well, you could tell I'm really moving up. Has this room ever been used?" I think was the first thing he said. I posted a picture of it when I was there, when I was waiting for him to show up. And Veal Chop from Geeks of Rage Show, it's geeksofrageshow.com, awesome fucking gaming podcast with Best in Show Brian and Pristine, Mike from Queens. He replied, "Wow, are you an AA?" Because there's no stage, it's just a little parquet floor. He says, was that a high school gym? Are you an AA? What the fuck? And from the looks of it, yeah, it really looked like just a small gathering. Like I was waiting for an eighth grade trumpet ensemble to fucking play some bullshit and have parents feign interest. But he came out. And he told some amazing fucking stories, man. That's one thing that he does that, you know, just so fucking brilliantly. He can tell a story about just going to Great Adventure, which he did. And it was absolutely fucking amazing. I have to say, if I knew that he was so good, like, I enjoyed him. I liked him on the shows that I saw. And I enjoyed his special. But I never felt compelled to go and see him perform. Until I realized, like, it's close and it's probably cheap and I'll get to see it. I'd go see him anywhere he performed. I think he is, he's incredible. And I think you missed something, Frank, by not going to this. I don't know why you canceled on me.
Excuse me? I wouldn't even know about it.
Oh, that's right. I never told you about it.
Yeah.
I told you actually the day I was going. And you were like, well, let me see if they're sold out. You were really upset. I didn't know you liked Brewer. I didn't know you
No, he's a good storyteller.
Yeah. Yeah, lots of stories about cleaning shit out of his dad's ass and balls. And, you know, really, I got to say, really good.
Now, are some of these stories that you've heard before?
Well, he closed with a very memorable story that he has told a few times, I think at least on O&A. About how he got
O&A. You referred to him with the initials. All right, go ahead.
Yeah, I did because you brought them up before. So they've already been introduced. It's been established.
All right, go ahead.
I listened to them.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry, what was that, Frank?
Go ahead. Go ahead, Uber fan.
Uber fan. Okay. Interesting. So, yeah, he told the story of when he worked at Sears. Have you ever heard that one?
No.
Well, he, you know, I'm not going to do the whole fucking story, but essentially, he got into a little argument with somebody in another department. So he pretended he did a prank call on the Sears phone to the other department and pretended to be Muammar Gaddafi. Said he's going to send his 6 Libyan missiles to hardware department. Long live paint department. And he hung up and he told the story of how that guy that he pranked, got freaked out, told the manager, they evacuated the store, and he got questioned by the FBI. It's a famous story that he's done. He's told many, many times. But the weirdest part of his whole thing is that he kind of just, like, stopped doing it. You know, he just stopped telling stories at one point. And he goes, anybody, I'm waiting for, like, anybody do this or know this or heard of this, and then another joke. He goes, anybody, I don't know. Got any requests? And nobody fucking said anything. Like, it's just...
Requests for what?
And, there was 30 seconds of silence, and he's like, you know, stories I do, or jokes, or bits, or... And someone goes, someone shouts out, How you killed on stage? In England? And he's like, okay, I don't get it. You were just on Stern like a week ago and you told the story. He's like, he wants to hear a story he heard a fucking week ago. Like, I don't know. The guy was on SNL. Ask him about fucking Farley. Ask him about anything. I didn't fucking say shit, mind you.
Why didn't you say anything?
Because I didn't want him.
You know what I would have asked him?
Because you know what? I was thinking of doing it, and then like the next two
got
people,
shy.
The two people that did before, I was going. You know, when I felt like I knew I wasn't going to, two people had already said something, and he was like, "I don't know, dude. What are you talking about? I don't know what you're saying. I don't know." And then they had to come back and explain it further, and I didn't want to get caught in some kind of like a no, you know, like. You did an impression of Tracy Morgan, and he told the producer, I'm a grown man. You're talking to me like I'm a child. And I wanted to hear that story that he had told on the radio. And but I didn't want to have to fucking think of other ways to explain it and have him go, it's like a too long of a story. Blah, blah, blah. What would you have asked him? If you were in the crowd and he's like, anybody got any requests?
He did his SNL, you know, he used to do his a Joe Pesci show or something.
Yes.
And one day, one night, Pesci and De Niro actually came on and walked on the show. And I just would have liked to get more, to find out about that, you know, what that experience was like.
That would have been a good one. I think I've heard him talk about that. I think he said that that De Niro, like, didn't get that it was alive and didn't know that, like, he wanted to, I guess, redo it or didn't, wasn't comfortable doing things live. And then I guess Lauren talked him into it. Like, he wasn't going to do it. And I think he's like, dude, you know, we did the rehearsals. De Niro never showed. And I think what, in Brewer's story, he did an impression of Lorne Michaels saying, "You'll be there." And then he showed. I think that was the story that he probably would have told. But all in all, good shit. If I'm going to keep my eyes open, Chester, New Jersey, because he's a resident there. You are aware of that, right, Frank?
Yeah, I told you that.
What do you mean you told me that?
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
What did you tell me? I'm sorry.
I thought I told you that he lived there.
No, and don't think that when I know something, you gave it to me.
I apologize.
Yeah, I don't know why you do that. You do that, and also when I said that to you before, I said that to you another time, you know. So don't get confused thinking you told me shit. The minute I told you that last time, you said, "Oh, I've seen his house. Oh, I've seen his house." Like you've seen a lot of famous people's houses for some reason. Because we mentioned Bon Jovi's house was for they were auctioning it off on MTV in like 1989. You're like, "Oh, I've seen that. I've seen that house."
Well, what I do for a living, I see things, so, you know, come across things.
Shit. Oh, I'm sorry.
No.
I didn't mean to pry, buddy. Didn't mean to pry. Do you want to mention anything at all to maybe to at least reference the weirdness of last week's show of episode 316?
J. Mark Inman?
Yeah, is it worth mentioning at all? I mean, we got a new listener because of him. I guess one of his fans started listening to us now.
Yes. I can't pronounce her name, but yes.
Yeah, to be honest, I don't necessarily know what the fuck is going on with that dude, but I think he's obviously got some kind of self-confidence, self-image issues, and he was a terrible guest.
Just wanted to have him on to talk about the experience. I was really looking forward to it.
For me, I was excited about it because, like, not that we could, but it seemed if we had a famous person on.
And he's by no means famous.
No, what I'm saying is if you had like. Here's what I mean. A lot of people think, "Oh, I've got a great guest." And you say, "Well, who's your guest?" And they're like, "Well, it's blah, 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 a name you've heard of. It's blah, 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 big star." And that's not necessarily, to me, the most interesting guest. To me, someone that I'm interested in talking to has a story and can share an experience and let me know what something's like that I'll never have the chance of doing or that I've never done. Right. And this guy has performed on national television. He was a contestant on a game show, something that we've all, you know, witnessed. We've all seen people compete on game shows, sing on TV. And I thought it would be nice to kind of get firsthand knowledge of what that would be like. But the guy was just such a fucking douche. He couldn't get over himself and his shitty characters and never really got into it. Like, honestly, I would enjoy talking to a fucking garbage man on this show just to get the experience of what it's like to make a living, to eat your food by throwing out everybody else's scraps. By throwing everybody else's shit in a fucking truck day after goddamn day. That, to me, is an interesting thing to talk about. J. Mark Inman's situation, very interesting to talk about. You know what isn't? When somebody thinks they're very, very creative and they just get into some mode where they can't see that what they're doing is shit. And to an extent, I think we all have that by all means. I mean, we host a podcast and we do it every week and it's not perfect, but it serves our own purposes. But what he's doing he thinks is brilliant. And to be honest, it's shit, and I had no interest in what he's producing or what he creates. I really just wanted to hear his tale of getting there and doing it. But we didn't get it. So currently, Frank, you are batting 500 with your with your guest booking. And sad to say, the best guest that you've booked is, in fact, the guy who fucked a girl with multiple chocolate chip scabs and didn't care about it. Fuckthegeek.com.
Fuckthegeek.com.
He gets the plug to.
Remember when we spoke to him on the phone beforehand? He yelled at us.
He kind of sassed me a little bit. Like, I'm not going to do this shit all day. Well, then don't fucking do it, jerk off. But you fucking, you're like, dude, don't ruin this for me.
Called him at like 10:30 on a weeknight or something.
Yeah, but I'm sorry. What was he fucking balls deep in a fucking midget? Isn't his wife a midget?
She's pretty hideous.
Vixen. She looks like Ronnie James Dio. She literally
now.
Yeah, oh shit! Respect the dead, please. Spill out a chalice of blood.
Rainbow in the dark.
Like a rainbow in the dark. Yeah, I don't know, but fuck that guy. I wanted to go off on that guy, and I, you know what? And I almost did. I wanted to go off on J. Mark Inman and fucking yell at the dude and tell him he's the exact shit that he was. But I got the sense that, Frank, you were very proud of what you had.
I wasn't proud.
You had told me in the past not to ruin. Don't ruin things, dude.
I wanted to see if we would eventually be able to get the story from him.
We didn't. Right. I mean, what did we get? Oh, there's a lot of auditions. Shangad. That's what we get. You know what? Whatever. We found out what his favorite breakfast cereal is. Like, when you have to ask somebody that question, like, I build it like, this is the ultimate way to figure out someone's personality. That's all you could get out of, get him to answer plainly. Favorite cartoons and fucking breakfast cereals. It was absolutely hideous, Frank. And I blame you, to be perfectly honest. I absolutely blame you. And I appreciate White House Brent. White House Brent did something fucking amazing. He actually, you know, let us know that he didn't think too much of the interview, and he basically called J. Mark Inman a fucking autistic show ruiner. Oh shit! Yeah, he took a couple shots at us on Twitter. J. Mark Inman did, but you know, c'est la vie, Frank. Say, la vie. Did you have anything else that you did in this? Did you do anything? You didn't actually say one fucking thing you did.
I've always wanted to go to that Philadelphia cheesesteak factory in Philadelphia.
There's a cheesesteak factory?
Cheese.
Is it related to the chain Cheesecake Factory?
No, cheesesteak. I went to Philadelphia.
You went to Philadelphia and you wanted to get a cheesesteak.
A cheesesteak, because I know people talk about this famous cheesesteak paper, Tony Luke's.
Oh, you went to Tony Luke's.
Tony Luke's.
See, Tony Luke's is my favorite place. A lot of people will talk about Pat's, Geno's, or some other place that I've never heard of, not having lived in Philadelphia, but having visited a few times. I prefer Tony Luke's. So you went there, that's where you went?
Yeah,
on my recommendation, you took my recommendation. I'm very proud of you.
It's not the greatest, you know. I mean, it's not off of a main drag. It's not the greatest of areas. There's really no big sign or anything.
It's in Philadelphia. It's not like it's going to be a great area.
Well, there's some nice parts of Philadelphia.
Few and far between, my friend.
Pardon?
Few and far between.
And there's really no sign. So we went past it a couple times because we didn't see it. There's no big sign up ahead that tells you this is it. So we actually pulled in the median. We pulled in the median middle of the highway. People were actually parked in the middle of the highway to get their food. And I got out. Must have been about 150 people online. No exaggeration.
Shit.
Inside, they were wrapped around.
It's a little. For those who don't, it's a little tiny place. It's like almost like a trailer. And it has like an awning and a kind of a – when it gets cooler out, they put these temporary walls in and the line winds around the place at certain times of the day. What time did you get there?
It was probably like about 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
All right, so not too close to lunch, but not too far from dinner either. Kind of just in between. So, all told, you know, you got a very delicious cheesesteak.
I had a better cheesesteak with fucking store brand Steakums, for Christ's sake.
I like how you set out to burn them. You really set out to, and you said it so fucking just exhaustedly. I had a better cheesesteak with fucking store bought Steakums. You did not.
I thought I was going to have a cheesesteak that was going to give me an experience of a lifetime. It didn't.
Well, to be fair, a cheesesteak isn't a life-altering thing. It's a very good-tasting thing, and that's where it's done best, in my opinion. Tony Luke's. They make their own bread. They have the best
so
Italian.
Mother.
What, bread and? She's going to have people over for bread and? I don't know why she wouldn't just say fucking coffee. What's the big deal? Anyway,
coffee,
or cake. Why wouldn't she say cake? Because she, you know why? She doesn't want to promise cake. Anyway, you know what you missed going to Tony Luke's? I mean, they're great cheesesteaks, but they're really known for their roast pork sandwiches. That is the best in fucking Philly. You could say, oh, John's. I think it's John's. I don't fucking know. Fuck John's if it is. Tony Luke's is the best. And
it's not the most cleanest place looking place. The people working there aren't the most desirable looking people either.
So, you know, you just ruined the experience for yourself. You overhyped it. I guess you're picturing a cheesesteak greasy sandwich stand to be hospital clean and run by fucking politicians.
And I blame you for this.
Why do you blame me for what?
Because you made it such a big deal about it, and it was nothing a big deal. And I blame you for wasting my time going there. And I want you to compensate me for the sandwich and for the gasoline that it took me to get there. Please I want you to compensate me ASAP.
So you just drove to Philly for a fucking sandwich you hated?
Well, we were in western New Jersey, and so we decided to drive to Philadelphia.
Oh, so it isn't like my recommendation took you there. You happened to have been there.
Well, we went there specifically on your recommendation.
You had the kids?
I want full compensation for the sandwich.
Did you have the kids with you?
Yes.
So your intention was to take the kids to do something fun in Philadelphia?
No. We did something fun in New Jersey, but it was dinner time. So I says, all right, let me. It was only about a half an hour away from where I was at. So I you know.
You should have took your kids to the zoo. America's first zoo, Philly Zoo.
Yeah, we were going to go to the zoo, but we decided not to.
You decided not to?
Yeah.
Any reason?
You know what? They were having a pride day, and I... No, whatever. It doesn't matter.
Wait, they were having a pride day? When was this?
Last Saturday.
Hmm.
It doesn't matter. It's irrelevant. It's irrelevant.
Hmm. A Pride Day, October 15th, at the Philadelphia Zoo?
No, it's irrelevant.
The Philadelphia Zoo, Pride Day at the Philadelphia Zoo. What, you don't have pride? Maybe they're talking about lions. Why wouldn't you go? They probably had a nice lion exhibit. Why wouldn't you go?
It's irrelevant.
Oh, the second result from gaycities.com. Literally gaycities.com. I'm saying literally a lot, and that's really irritating to me. I need to stop that. So it was gay pride day, and you didn't want to go.
No, it had nothing to do with that. We just it was
but
already
no,
late in the day, so we decided to go.
That's the reason you cited for not going. You decided against it because it was a pride day.
No. We just decided it was too late in the day, so we decided not to go after
so
all.
So are there no coaster brakes on this bicycle you're pedaling backwards, Frank? Just going to keep going back.
No, it had nothing to do with that.
Trying to steer out of the turn. Don't want to go down this path. It's all right. So you went into Philadelphia. You just said, whoa, it's Pride Day. Don't need to see that scene at the Monkey House. It's a great zoo, Frank. If you're in the area
again. It's the country's first zoo.
I said that even before you just said that.
I don't even remember you saying that.
You don't remember anything. You don't listen to anything I fucking say. You don't listen. You have ADD.
Yeah.
Do you ever use that excuse with Donna? How often does Donna yell at you? Does she yell at you?
A couple times a day.
Couple times a day? And do you tell her, I have ADD?
Sometimes I'll use that as an excuse. Not too often.
You know, I was talking to...
16 years Saturday.
Right. I was talking to Shawnee Murphy, and he basically came up with the best way to disarm somebody with a question or a comment that they're delivering to you. Just look back at them and say, I don't know what that means. So when Donna yells at you, just say, I don't know what that means.
What I do say sometimes, they say, don't upset me. Don't upset me. Please, don't upset me. Because my father used to say it to me. He goes, don't upset me.
Oh, shit. Did that kill you? Did that just fucking run you down?
Yeah,
when he said
so
that?
I do that to her.
And you did whatever it was?
I don't know. Whatever. You know.
Did you listen? Did you try not to upset him by doing what he asked of you?
Yeah. But I'm saying if you
I don't know what he just said. I'll just say it and throw it back to you. I know you have adult ADD, Frank, and I'm sorry. I'm trying to be sensitive to your condition. Can you forgive me?
Sure.
Thank you. Frank, I think this show has kind of...
It's run its course.
I'm looking at my iPhone to see if there's anything that we missed.
Oh, you have an iPhone? What model iPhone you have?
I have the Verizon iPhone 4.
Oh, okay, because I have the 4S.
Excuse me?
I have a 4S iPhone. I have the most recent version of the iPhone.
Since when?
Oh, since...
You got the... There are people that are waiting for theirs to be shipped. You got it the first fucking day?
It was in my mailbox Friday.
Holy shit. You're really up on things
now. Glad I thought to order it ahead of time.
Zoe, now this is your second iPhone?
Yes, it is.
Really? So, what was your first... Did you have, like, the original one before this?
No, I didn't have the original. I had the 3G, I think, which was the second one.
Jesus, so...
Let me tell you how it goes. It goes the iPhone, the iPhone 3G, the iPhone 3GS, the iPhone 4, the iPhone 4S.
I hate when you do these little vignettes like that would be used in the same fashion that somebody talking about the cast of Saved by the Bell... on a Remember the 80s. So you got your Kelly, you got your Lisa, and Kelly's a hot one, and then they cut away. Like, those are the worthless facts that you just inject in conversations. Like, you're on a Remember the special on fucking VH1. It's really irritating to me. But congratulations on your new phone.
Thank you.
I gotta say, this fucking thing, this iPhone, even though it's not a 4S, is invaluable to me for when I go into the bathroom. Like, I honestly feel lost if I have to take a shit and I don't have this. I look at this. I read it. I check my emails. I do everything on this while I'm shitting. Except a couple days ago when I was interrupted at work. When I took, I was, you know, every time I take a shit, I have my phone in my hand. And I'm in the stall. And so I hear someone, one of my coworkers, go, Ken! And I go, hey. I don't like talking between stalls. You know, you're always in here when I'm in here. And I'm thinking, what the fuck? He goes, yeah, I see your shoes.
Did he tap you with his foot?
No, he didn't. But the guy has recognized me by my shoes. And every time I shit and he comes in, he feels the need to fucking start talking to me, even though he's a stall over. Like, I don't know, man. It seems like you're always in here whenever I'm in here, Ken. So it's kind of uncomfortable for me, and I want it to stop happening. So I've been varying my footwear.
Now, you're known, I mean, let's face it, people. His preferred footwear are brown sneakers.
Yeah, but to be honest, I haven't been wearing brown sneakers for quite a while. Because my brown New Balances, I was unable to really find a true match for them. So I had to retire those. And I've been wearing gray New Balances. And those are the ones that got me recognized. So I decided to switch them up. And I've been trying to mix my footwear. But apparently that's no use. because now the guy knows my shoes. Every day, the dude he must take note of my fucking shoes, and when he walks in the bathroom, if he happens to see me taking a shit, perhaps playing some Fruit Ninja while I'm shitting, Ken, we meet again. Every time, Ken, every time. I don't know how to stop it. I don't think I can stop it. I don't necessarily want this to happen. And I don't want to have to fucking withhold throughout my whole fucking day. I have to shit. It's just, that's how I'm built. I have to have a shit every fucking day.
God forbid you go at home. Like normal people do.
What, go home during the middle of the day?
No, you go, you get a routine, and you do this, go at the same time every day. Like normal people do.
People shit. Like, he's normal.
But you do it the same time every day. You control your bowels.
So you're saying shift my clock so that it falls out of sync with his.
Right.
The next time it happens, I'm going to log the time.
You're not too bright, are you?
And I'll never shit at that time again.
Ooh.
I'll just hold it painfully. I sit at work and like with the worst posture ever, and I never know I have to shit until I stand up. I can go hours and hours not shitting, but the minute I stand up, I literally have to go, and it's go time, 30 seconds before there's a disaster.
It's go time.
It's fucking terrible. Anyway, I guess that you repeating what I said, it means that you're done. Anyway, Frank,
it's go time.
What are your goals for this week? What do you hope to accomplish in the 7 days to come?
I really haven't thought it out yet, but I'll Twitter it when I know.
I would like you to have a goal every week, and whether it's minuscule or grandiose, I'd like you to have a fucking goal. I mean, like, for example, you got that new iPhone. That's a major step forward.
iPhone has what's called...
So wait, does Donna have... Don't give me a fuck... Don't give me some fucking pop-up video fact about something that I mentioned, please. Don't fucking do that. You had an iPhone 3GS, or 3G. Is that Donna's phone now?
It's in limbo. It may be my daughter's... maybe she'll use it as an iPod.
Oh, so you're not going to get service for it?
Correct.
You're going to give...
You can get service for it?
It's a fucking phone.
But once I got service for this phone, that phone doesn't work anymore as a phone.
Oh, my God. So you really think that when you cancel service on a cell phone, it's you just throw it away?
Well, the thing is, you can get the 3GS for free, so why would I give her the 3G?
Because you already have it. I don't know.
Yeah, whatever.
And because she's fucking like 12 years old. And why should she have a great
phone?
She
has her own TV now.
Wait, when did this happen?
For her birthday in the last month.
And what birthday is it? 13?
12.
Ooh. I believe I got my first TV when I was 12 years old. And a few short years later, I was trying to rig it to watch scrambly porn. And a certain videotape labeled Mom's Tape was
I thought it was
started.
Oprah.
Yeah,
I thought it was Oprah.
It was Oprah, Mom's Tape. Do not touch. No one would touch it. But guess who did? And guess who recorded little segments of pornography? God, if I find that fucking tape, I will see some really terrible fucking terrible porn. Televised porn was really bad. Anyway, I'm done with this. You know what? Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. Frank, thanks for being a guest on the show. Just edge you out. I appreciate it. Thanks for thanks for being a part of this thing, Frank.
Thank you.
And thanks for not ruining this show with another shitty fucking terrible guest.
Thanks. I'll do better next time.
I hope you do. Do you have anything else you'd like to say for yourself?
Nothing.
Nothing? You can't think of one thing?
Not one thing.
Thank you. Well, everybody, be sure to tune in every Tuesday night.
Are you doing chat roulette?
Of course. If you're live, stick around for chat roulette. If not, stop by next week. That's the DJ New Style Show. DJNewStyleShow.com. Download everything we've ever done. Subscribe to the podcast. Like us on Facebook. Leave a comment. It gives me something to read on my iPhone while I'm being talked at. and shitting and playing Fruit Ninja. That's facebook.com/thedjnewstyleshow. I'm at DJ New Style on Twitter. He's at The Germ Freak. And he's also a bald fuck. And I kind of hate him sometimes. Anyway, thank you for tuning in. Chat Roulette is next. Have a good week.